Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. So I'm gonna do something today. I'm gonna teach in a way that I normally don't teach. I'm teaching in response to something, and I'm usually not reactive in my teaching, but I think it's important right now because we've been experiencing just crazy kind of thinking out there where, you know, wrong seems to be right and right seems to be wrong. There's the removal of the father as the head and the covering, the protector, the one who blesses his family. There's the removal of what God calls holy and right. There's the removal of what God calls evil. And you know, the world is just basically thumbing its nose at God. And you know, I don't quite understand that. People who call themselves Christians, we posted when Alan Hawkins was here and was talking about deconstruction. That was a brilliant teaching. And if you listen to it, he was very clear. He was saying that, hey, deconstruction, it's something we all experience. Deconstruction is a phenomenon that's taking place right now where people are deconstructing their whole belief system and basically believing in nothing or believing whatever they choose to believe. But we all deconstruct a little bit when we, if you will, come of age. We all take a look, examine, question the things that we believe in when we become adults and we become the one who has to decide, this is what I believe and this is what I don't believe. And that's not wrong. When I deconstruct, as long as I have the right foundation, then I can take something apart and put it back together correctly, and I have what I have is good and holy and right and in obedience to God. If I'm asking the wrong questions, if I'm trying to deconstruct based on the wrong questions, like for example, God is very clear in His Word that homosexuality is an abomination; it is evil. And it doesn't matter what your personal opinion is. What matters is what God's personal opinion is. And God Himself says that that is evil. I've tried to somehow reconcile what I hear others saying, that somehow God's okay with that. But when I embrace and when I look at what He says in His Word, then I find very clearly that God says in the Old and New Testament that is evil. And that's kind of where I want to go this morning. Because I'm coming from the position that the Scripture is the Word of God, or at least It is some of the Word of God. But in order for you to see what happens in deconstruction, they will create a belief system. In other words, what they build on top, something they embrace, not in the foundation of their life, but in building their life on top. If you look at your life as like a structure, that you have the foundation, then you have the first, second, third, fourth floor. If somehow in the fourth floor of the life, of the house of your life, you say, well, you know what? I'm sorry, but I just can't reconcile that God hates homosexuals. Well, I agree with that. God doesn't hate homosexuals. God loves homosexuals, same as I do. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, just because I love you doesn't mean I'm saying what you're doing is right. If you're doing crack cocaine, I love you, But it's not right. You say, well, are you equating homosexuality to crack cocaine? No, I'm not. I'm not calling it sin. God does. We say, well, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. So for you not to agree with that, here's what you have to do. You have to say that, okay, this is what I believe. This is the house of my life. And in my belief system, I'm going to say that homosexuality is right. And if I say that homosexuality is right, but the Word of God says that it is wrong, or the Scripture says that it is wrong, then I have to de-authenticate the Scripture. Now, listen to me. That is happening absolutely. In someone's comment to the posting that we posted about Alan's message, a guy said, I think it's very dangerous to call the Scriptures the Word of God. And I agree with that to some extent, because the Scriptures are not the totality of the Word of God. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? You're starting to scare me. Just hold on. I'll prove it to you biblically. Okay? Let's look at the Word of God itself. Let's look at, we'll call it, just for the sake of today, we'll call it the Scriptures. John 1:1. Let's read this together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we could continue reading the whole way down to verse 14, and nothing's is contrary or in disagreement with that. But let's just, for brevity's sake, let's go down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Now, stop there. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who are we talking about? Jesus. Wait, I want everyone to hear that loud and clear. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Okay, so let's go back to verse 1. Let's substitute Word for Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Go into verse 14. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we all agree with that statement, right? We don't have a problem with that, do we? Okay, here's the problem. The problem is, why did God choose to substitute the name Jesus for the Word? It was by design. It was by intention. He didn't just willy-nilly think, let's just confuse this a little bit. No, God was making a very clear point. We were actually reading this morning, and kind of the point was made in the readings we were reading this morning. Somebody tell me where we read this morning in our devotional. Ezra, chapter 9, verse 14, says this, "Shall we again break your commandments and intermarry with the peoples who commit these abominations? Would you not be angry with us to the point of destruction until there is no remnant nor any who escape?" Now, shall we again break your commandments? Your commandments, God, your commandments. Where are God's commandments? Now, I'm going to oversimplify this. And listen, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to create a firm foundation. Are you with me? All right. So now we say, we talk about God's commandments, his precepts, his rules. Where do we find them? Well, we would all just very quickly agree they're found in where? The Bible, which we also call the Scripture, which we also call the Word of God. You understand the word Bible just simply means book. Yeah. The book. There's a difference between a book and the book. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Now listen, for the record, just you all need to clearly hear me. I believe the Scripture is the Holy Scripture. I believe the Scripture is the Word of God. So let's just kind of tag it so I don't get you too scared. Okay? But you say, but wait a minute. If the Scriptures are the Word of God and Jesus is the Word of God, is the Word of God Jesus? The Word of God, the Scriptures, are a portion, but not the whole. Are you with me?
Yeah.
How many have ever bought a swing set for their kids? Let me see your hands. You bought a swing set for your kids. How many ever tried putting the swing set together without the instructions? Let me see your hands. Oh, nobody will admit it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Landon, you'll admit it. Okay. Yeah, you did. Without the instructions. Did you mess it up?
Yeah.
Okay, you messed it up. What did you have to do? But you had to go back and read the instructions, right? Janice and I were putting a greenhouse together. This was the greenhouse from hell. It was, I mean, literally, it took us a solid 8-9 hours to put this greenhouse together. And the instructions were so, they just were very vague. They were only about 4 or 5 pages, and it had pictures and arrows, and the picture wasn't real clear. The instructions weren't clear. And we got mad. Like, we're like, why wouldn't they give us better instructions? Well, listen, God did. He made sure you had very, 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 very clear instruction. He made sure you had instruction from before the cross. He made sure you had instruction during the cross. He made sure you had instruction after the cross. So there's where was God before Jesus? There he is in the Old Testament. Where is God after the cross? There it is in the New Testament. Come on, somebody. Look, God was very, very clear. He set down writings, scriptures, a book, so that we would have very clear instructions to know him, to understand him, to be obedient to him, to follow him. In other words, the Word of God is the journey instructions or the journey manual for the believer, for the son, daughter of God, in to know how to function on this earth as a believer. Now, if you want to not function as a son, as a daughter of God, if you want to not be who God made you to be, then you have a problem with the scriptures. And you must deauthorize them by saying, this isn't really from God. It's good stuff, but it's not really from God. And may I suggest to you, that is going on all over the place right now. You have the United Methodist denomination largely is fighting right now over that very issue, is fighting over whether homosexuals, transgenders should be ordained. And it's creating gigantic division in one of the largest denominations in the United States. And the people are hurt. They're grieving. Listen, if you have a friend, if you have a family member who is United Methodist, who is going to that kind, please pray for them. They're hurting right now. Their hearts are being torn apart. This is not God. This is not God doing this. There's a division. There's a divisiveness that is coming in, not just to the churches, but into our whole country. And may I suggest, into the whole world. But today, I want to lay a foundation that not only is the scriptures good writings, not only are the scriptures a good idea for us to follow, they are the way for us to live. God himself intended. Now, so here's what I want you to see. Now, I want you to, so Old Testament, we just looked at some Old Testament scriptures. And listen, if you want to look at Old Testament, read Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 5 says this. David said this, and we're not sure that David wrote Psalm 119, but we think pretty much that it was David. We believe that David wrote Psalm 119 because actually what it is, it's the Jewish alphabet. And it goes, I believe, forwards and backwards. And he did it possibly to teach his son Solomon how to understand and remember not just scripture, but how to remember the alphabet. So it was a fun way to learn. Now, we don't see it that way because we're not Jewish and we don't read Hebrew. But for someone who's like, you know, A is for apple, B is for, yeah, whatever. So So David said in the word, in Psalm 119, the fifth letter, it says this. It says, I hide your word. Everyone say word. That's what actually he used that. He used, I hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you, God. He said later on, he said that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we have in the Old Testament, and listen, if you're not sure, read the whole of Psalm 119. There's, I think, 175, 178 verses. And it underscores the absolute essential nature of the Word of God, the Scriptures as the Word of God, the Scriptures as breathed by God. You say, but it was men that wrote them down. Yes, it was, under direction of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I don't know that I agree with that. Then you don't understand how powerful Holy Spirit is. You don't understand the ability of Holy Spirit to give us the instruction manual for you today. What kind of loving God, what kind of loving father would you have if he said to you, hey, you're going to be my sons and daughters, but I'm not going to tell you how to live, and I'm going to judge you at the end based on how you lived. That's not a loving God. You know what a loving father says? Hey, listen, here's how I want you to live. Here's how I'm going to help you to live that. And if you mess up, here's how I'm going to help you to do that, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm never going to get away from you. But I'm going to give you written instructions, so you can't say, well, it's this, and he says, well, it's this, and she says, well, it's this. No, it's this. And you're not allowed to interpret it your own way. Because people say that all the time. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, you interpret Scripture one way, and I interpret it another, and so how do we really know? Holy Spirit. You thought I was going to say holy crap, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. No, Holy Spirit. He is the divine interpreter, and he helps us move into all truth. And if you're seeking with a pure heart, not with an agenda, but with a pure heart. Look, if I want to make homosexuality okay with God, then I have an agenda. Are you with me? You say, why do you keep banging away at that? Because it's so in your face right now. I've had brothers say to me, hey, we lost that fight. Quit trying to fight it. I will not give up on the Word of God. I will not give up on His truth. Look, if we're the last people standing, we still have to stand. But how many of you know greater is He that is with us than he that is in the world? Are you with me? Bang your hands together if you agree with that. Look, here's what you have to understand. Jesus quoted the Old Testament 78 times. Here's some of the things that he said. He said this in Matthew 5, 17 through 19. He said, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. Now listen to this. Listen to the importance that Jesus places on the Scripture, that his life, that perfect, beautiful Lamb of God who came to take the sins of the world, his life has come to fulfill the Word of God. Now, when you say the Old Testament or the Word of God itself is not important, yet your Lord God says that my life has been given to fulfill that Word, how dare you? I'm not mad, I'm just passionate. I'm just, you with me? You okay? I'm really not mad. We okay? Do I need to tell a joke right now? You say, he's a pastor, you're scaring me now. No, I'm sorry, I get it. I look at myself. So I edit the TV show, right? And by the way, if there's anyone that wants to edit the TV show and you'd like to volunteer every week to do that, please let me know. I'd love for you to do that. But when I edit the TV show, sometimes I look at the look on my face. I'm like, ooh, you're scaring me right now. Yeah. Listen, verse 19, verse 18. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what Jesus said, Luke 24, 25. He said, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." So not only is he upholding the commandments, but he's upholding all the prophets as well. In chapter 5 of John, verse 39, he said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. In these that testify about me." So all of the scriptures, Jesus himself is saying that the scriptures itself, its testimony is me. What is the scripture? The scripture is a portion of Jesus. It is Jesus in print, if you will. He is our instruction. He is the one who teaches us how we should live. Are you with me? Listen, without the scriptures, we would be far behind than what we are now. Now, somebody may say, but bro, I mean, you got islands in Upper Mongolia that they don't have any written scriptures. I know. But remember what the Lord said. That he said that the scripture itself is written in our hearts. You say, wait, then why do we need the written scripture? To confirm what it is that's in your heart. Because above all else, the human heart can be deceitful. So we can get off track. When we get agenda different than God's, y'all with me now? When we, like, look, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to do what God wants to do. That's an agenda different than God's. Well, I want to do what people are pressuring me to do instead of the will of God. Okay, that's a different agenda. Are you with me? All right, so moving right along now. So Jesus, again, Matthew 4, chapter 1, verse 1. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry, and the tempter came." Now, in his moment of temptation, in one of the greatest challenges that Jesus ever experienced, what does he do? Does he do a miracle to prove to the devil that he's powerful? Does he wave his hand and angels fly in and deal with the devil? Does he shake and speak in tongues for 15 minutes? No, he doesn't do that either. What does he do? Does he prophesy? No, he doesn't prophesy. What does he do? In his moment of temptation, in his moment that he's being challenged, the greatest in his life, what does he go to? He goes to the core of who he is. His great-grandpappy told him the secret. Great-grandpappy David, "I will hide your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you." What does Jesus say? He says to the devil, he said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Because the devil just said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Listen, the enemy is going to try to get you to buy into something that is not God. He's going to attempt you to embrace a different thinking. He wants you not to think with God, but just to think on your own. You say, "Well, God gave me a brain, Pastor, and he wants me to use it." Yes, he wants your brain to turn your eyes toward God and say, "God, not my will, but your will be done. Not my understanding will I lean on, but your understanding, God, will I lean on." Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Bang your hands together if that's right preaching. All right. Luke 24 is the last scripture, verse 44. "Now he said to them, these are my words, which I spoke to you, with you, while I was still with you, and all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scripture. I want to close with this. Our Lord... Wait, I got to pause for a second. Because even that's under attack. You have people standing up and saying, "Well, Jesus was a good dude. Hey, Jesus, you're all right. I like you. I mean, even Gandhi said, you know, Christianity, if it would be wonderful if it was just Jesus and not all the Christians. That's like saying pastoring would be easy if it wasn't for the people. Wait, did I say that? Well, it's true, isn't it? Wouldn't life be easy if it wasn't for people? But listen. Kenny said that with Cheryl standing right beside him. I'm just saying. Cheryl, I don't think that way. Okay, all right. So listen. This is our inheritance. People are the point. You don't have a kingdom without people. We're the carriers of the kingdom of God. Are you with me? And so this is, I mean, it's not easy. But yet, isn't that what the sword sharpener would say to the sword? It's not easy what I'm doing right now. Shh. Not easy. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good rubbing that sword, creating some sparks, creating a little fire. But isn't that how you become sharper? Isn't that how you become more useful? Isn't that how you become what you're supposed to be when there's a little bit of friction, a little bit of sparks, a little bit of fire? We become more. You don't make the sword sharp without sharpening it. Are you with me? Listen, we're meant to sharpen each other, not clang against each other, not just make a bunch of noise, but to sharpen each other. What do we sharpen? What do you sharpen a sword with? A stone, or said another way, the rock, or said another way, the word, or said another way, the scriptures. The scriptures are a portion of Jesus, a perfectly preserved portion of Jesus. The scriptures are holy. Holy Spirit has for thousands and thousands of years worked to make sure that he has given us the word. Here's what's crazy. Stand up as we close. Do you know that the Old Testament scriptures, listen to this, the Old Testament scriptures that we have, the preserved documents that we have, are the most ancient writings on the planet? Do you know that the Holy Scriptures are the most preserved and most validated ancient writings in the known world? Scientists, historians, all agree that the documentation from the scriptures is the most accurate depiction of ancient history that we have. The New Testament itself has over 24,000 manuscripts that are within a 70-year period of Jesus walking the earth. 24,000! Do you realize that just not that many years ago, a little boy was in the Middle East throwing rocks in a cave, and he heard something break, and he went up and he found this sealed pottery that had scrolls in it, and he took them to his town, and they took it to the historians, and they found what are now known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls have validated the scripture that we have today. In complete agreement. God loves you so much that he took a portion of who is his son and he placed it in writing so you and I could have very clear instruction Are you with me? So now, we have the scriptures. But may I say it's safe to call it the Word of God? In the same way that if I would write the memoirs of my life and I would put them in writing, you could say that's Brian Higbee right there. It isn't the whole of Brian Higbee, but it's a good representation. It will allow you, if you read my memoirs, which I don't have, but if I did, it would allow you to know something of me that you did not otherwise know. It would tell you about how I thought. It would tell you about how I acted. It would tell you about who I'm in relationship with. It would tell you what I believe. And I'm just one man with one life. The scriptures span over about a 6,000-year period with scores of authors. Many of them written by different authors that are all in agreement, in harmony. Is there some tension? Yes. But if you're going to build anything, if you're going to put up a tent even, you have to have some tension in the lines or it will not stand. Are you with me? Lord, your word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for preserving it. Thank you for getting it to us today, putting it in our hands so that we can study unashamedly. We can know you a little better. Thank you for these instructions that show how we should live. Lord, I break that spirit of deception that's hovering over this land. And I ask, Lord, that the light of your word would pierce the darkness and make your word known among men. Illuminate, Lord God, that scripture that has been hidden in our hearts, that has maybe been darkened in some, but cause it now. Cause it now, in Jesus' name, to be illuminated. Father, we thank you for who you are. That you love us. You love us so much to preserve your word to us today. Let us never take it lightly. Hey, listen, just a quick pause. If you don't study daily the word of God, may I encourage you to? You say, well, yeah, that all sounds good, but I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to do it. I don't have like a track to follow, and it gets really hard. I kind of forget, and hey, listen, this is how strongly I believe in the Word of God being part of our lives daily. We create a devotional, and we'll have a new one coming out right at the first of the year that we all do together, that we actually post our thoughts and ideas, and we make it as easy as possible that in 1 year you will go the whole way through the Scripture. I make it part of my kids' lives because we believe that our kids have to be grounded in the Word. Otherwise, they're not going to have an answer when their professors in college say, well, this is how we really should believe. No. They have an answer because we've hidden the Word in their hearts that they may not sin against their God. Amen. Let me bless you and send you out. So, Father, bless them. Keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Lord, there's lots of challenges that will come. None of them make you fearful. All of them you are prepared for. Help us to lean into you, especially when we're challenged in the Word. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.